What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Nick. We had to boot out Mario. We need room to talk. We've got booms, we've got busts, a little injury, and of course, the waiver wire talk here. Nick, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. I'm still kind of feeling the rush from last night's game between Dallas and Green Bay, which was super dramatic and also very anticlimactic. But yeah, excited to be here and chat with you every week. Recapping this stuff is something I look forward to every Monday.
Yeah, we're recording this late into the Monday evening, and we still don't have a result for the game on Sunday night. Still no one has won the game. That's like nothing's more frustrating than a tie. I picked Green Bay for my survivor pick, and I don't know how they eliminated me. I don't get it. My pick did not lose. I get it didn't win, but it didn't lose. It's crap.
So my survivor pool gets two choices, and I've doubled down on Denver tonight. So I'm either going to be extremely happy or entirely out. But I should look at how many people chose Green Bay in that too.
I'm annoyed. I'm so annoyed. It's like 40 to 40.
Yeah, we're all winners here kind of at the end. And yeah. Man, that last play, that last 15 seconds, I mean, leading the end of the actual game and then in overtime as well. Incredible game. But yeah, very anticlimactic for a like heart pounding kind of ready to go and see who's going to win this and then barely gets that off. But yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's what you want out of a football game. Just everything outside of the very last, outside of the ending result.
Once time expires, just put the ball on the 50, both kickers kick it. We know, I mean, Green Bay, sorry, you would have lost that one. They had Aubrey on the other side, you know, but well,
let's just go college rules.
Yeah, come on. Just go at it until we get points.
Like, dilly-dallying a little bit and making it slightly better, but not like correct by any means. And we have an example of this being exciting. NFL just wants this to be like fantasy football focused anyway. So let's just get offenses on the field, put up a bunch of points. Who does it the best?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, I don't know what's more ridiculous or what makes me more mad. Seeing a tie? Or seeing these injuries. Folks, we've got a lot of injuries to go through today. Maybe not a lot, but like the big ones are starting to hit. Malik Nabers. Oh, man, what an exciting game for Jackson Dart going out there. His first start as a rookie. The Giants went in there and handled business against the Chargers, but it wasn't without the cost of Malik Nabers. Confirmed recently, ACL tear. Gone for the season.
Yeah, devastating. Really bad for Dart, too. You know, there's someone he wants. They want to progress him as the season goes on, and his receiving core is not that inspiring. So we'll talk about him a bit more, but not great setup for him coming into the NFL. But congrats to him on his first win. Pretty awesome start.
Hey, we got trade deadline coming up. Giants, go get make a move. Come on, guys. No, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. They need to hold on to that.
all their
whatever.
Picks.
Yeah, all the picks. Hold on
save
to them
all.
Lamar Jackson, after, I mean, what, 2.5 quarters of a just an absolutely beating from the Chiefs, they pulled Lamar. So it's kind of interesting to see how extreme this is. The fact that, like, they weren't in the game, but they could have come back. You know, where that situation is, if anything, they do have a bye week in 3 weeks. So it would be 2 weeks he'd sit to get that third week of the bye week if it is that bad. It's going to be interesting watching everything this week.
Yeah. I mean, they were down, I think, 17 when he came out. So you're not pulling Lamar Jackson at any point in the game. So have to assume he has an injury. I don't think he was benched by any means, but
no. Yeah, just the severity of how bad is the hamstring.
Yep. Yeah.
This team's 1-3.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're not a team with a bunch of new pieces either. They should be able to play pretty well together. These are all the same. It's Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Bateman. Likely he's coming back sometime soon within the next week or two. Derrick Henry, like, line is intact. There's no reason for them to. Personnel is intact, but there's some injuries too. But this isn't a team that needs to, like, learn how to work with each other. So seeing these struggles is actually pretty concerning, but they usually pull it together.
Yeah. Bucky Irving, this one was kind of shocking seeing this on Monday. Coach came out saying that Bucky's getting an MRI. As of the time of this recording, that's what we've got, folks. We don't know what's getting MRI'd. We don't know if it's serious. Maybe he does it just for the hell of it. You know, once a year, he's like, you know, MRI me. I make money now. No, we don't know. So it's something to monitor, especially as we go into waivers, but we'll get into that later. Ricky, Oh, Ricky. Ricky and Juwan Jennings, both of them banged up. Knee injury for Ricky. Juwan Jennings, a rib injury. And I don't think he really is over whatever is lingering before. So, I mean, it's the Niners.
Yeah, you play for the 49ers. So you get 2 games max. And somehow the healthiest person on this team is Christian McCaffrey.
Did anybody check where they put Levi Stadium? Like, when they put in that new stadium, is it like an Indian burial ground here? Do we have like alien artifacts underneath? Like, something is wrong with the 49ers and this team.
Yeah, for several years now. It is kind of crazy. But hopefully Kittle comes back soon. And, you know, it sucks for Purdy and Mac Jones, who still put up decent numbers in the absence and through these injuries. But, yeah, not an ideal situation by any means.
A couple of side pieces here. We've got Darnell Mooney and Cedric Tillman both pulling a hamstring, as well as Lamar. We're going to monitor that situation. I mean, as we're going into the bye weeks, you may not have been starting these players, but we're getting into the time of year when you do start these types of players. So we'll watch that. Calvin Austin also a shoulder injury. So just one more of the very few receiving pieces they have there in Pittsburgh.
Yep. I wanted to throw out Joe Alt as well. Ankle injury. Kind of devastating for that Chargers offensive line, which obviously wasn't helpful against what's supposed to be a really solid Giants defensive front seven there, which kind of disrupted the game a bit. Not so much for Amari and Hampton, but definitely for Justin Herbert. But something to monitor, kind of on backup tackles on both sides there. Going to make it a little bit more difficult to move forward.
Yeah, that would be the second all-star tackle that they would they'll lose there on that line. And look, Marty Hampton's getting released. He's just getting released, and they're going to do this
awesome
to us
this week.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah, let's go ahead and go to these booms there. I don't want to talk about the sadness. No more sadness. Let's talk about the great ones. We'll start at the top with quarterbacks because, you know, those are the flashy names. And, I mean, going back to Green Bay, man, Dak Prescott, 319 yards. We had 3 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. I mean, when you go to OT, you kind of expect these higher scoring games, but Dak Prescott has been unbelievable so far this season.
Yeah, and doing it without CeeDee. That was definitely encouraging against Green Bay defense, who we all pictured walking in there and kind of stomping them and holding them down. But Dak was able to spread the ball pretty well. Pickens was a monster. He kind of put on that performance that we like to see from him. But yeah, QB1 performance for Dak without CeeDee, you got to be pretty inspired by that if you have him on your roster.
Yeah, this is the number one like offense in yards and number one defense yards let up in defense.
That you and I have highlighted for several months now coming into the season, saying this team is going to have to put up a lot of points. I think we're all surprised at how good Javonte Williams has been on the ground too, but his receiving skill set has been on display too. And yeah, this is kind of the first one that's been put all together. So hopefully they can continue moving forward.
Matthew Stafford comes away with a win against Indy, 375 yards, 3 touchdowns. Came down to the very end. It was that big, 88 yards pass to Tutu Atwell. Put the nail in the coffin. Really secured his day.
If you only have 9 defensive people on the field, then sometimes you give up 88-yard touchdowns.
Yeah. That was. I don't want to talk about it.
Credit to you, though. You said Stafford last week. You called this performance. So
I was ready for the pain.
Yeah.
Any other quarterback you want to shout out here?
No, I think that's pretty good. It's quarterbacks. There's a lot of QB1s every year.
All right. Patty Mahomes at 3, Love at 4. Drake May, another top finish at 6. Carson Wentz at 7. Jackson Dart finishes at 9. Penix in 10. Purdy at 11.
Yeah. Mahomes, we can touch on real quick as someone we spoke very highly on last week on our bye section of this podcast. And first 4 touchdown performance in I don't know exactly, but it's definitely been a few years in QB3, and this is without Rashi Rice, but this was exactly what we were talking about and hoping that bringing back some playmakers would actually be helpful. He's running a bit more. He's making plays with his feet, and Baltimore's defense has been pretty weak. I think they're bottom 3 in like rushing and receiving so far, that's what we want to see. You know, I wasn't expecting it this quickly, but very encouraging if you use that as an opportunity to go buy Mahomes.
Top 6 in 3 or 4 weeks, and he gets Rashi Rice in a couple weeks. So
yeah, love it.
I'm excited. I think we're back. Talks of running backs. Look, the rookies have arrived. I'm so folks, if you drafted Jeanty, you've been hurting. You probably aren't 2-1 or better going into this week. But Ashton Jeanty lit it up. I mean, Chip Kelly finally did a little something different. So, 138 rushing yards, 17 receiving yards, 3 total touchdowns, 1 through the air, or 2 through the air, I'm sorry, and 1 on the ground. This was just an absolutely great, like, this is what we were waiting for. This is what we drafted.
This is the generational prospect.
Right? Doing it on green turf at that. This isn't blue in Boise State.
I was wondering
State.
If that was the issue. But, yeah, Jeanty, this is the performance you've been waiting for. I don't know what his season statistics are in terms of where he is. I don't know if he's still a running back one quite yet. But piecing it all together against kind of a bad Chicago defense. But hopefully you had an opportunity to go buy him. And if you didn't, then you're happy that you held on.
Yeah, 100%. Who else you gonna who are we talking about?
Kenneth Gainwell. We got the surprise news. Hopefully, you didn't get too hurt by Jaylen Warren getting this inactive right before the game in Ireland. But Gainwell came out 19 rushes, 99 yards, and 2 touchdowns, 6 receptions on 6 targets for 35 yards. Pretty solid numbers against a Vikings defense that we assume to be really good, but kind of been proven wrong a bit so far this season. I would say it's worse news for Caleb Johnson because anyone holding on to him, this was really the opportunity.
This was the game for him to come out. This is for something. Him to like, oh, the draft capital, man. What we spent and the Steelers spent. Yeah, Gainwell, we're going to monitor the situation because I don't know if I necessarily want to go be rushing out to go get him, especially with them going into a bye. But
we'll talk more about him, but yeah.
Josh Jacobs finishing at number 2. Justice Hill kind of, he does this.
Big touchdown at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He's kind of one of those guys that we could throw on to. We threw out a lot of like backup running backs last week, but he's another one of those guys where if something happened to Henry, you'd be very happy that you have him. And he's not going to replace Derrick Henry, but he can definitely put up RB2 numbers if he were put into a full workload.
And he might shine over the next couple of weeks, especially if Lamar is out. They're playing Houston. They're playing the Rams. And Derrick Henry hasn't been great in games that they don't have a positive game situation. So against Houston, they should be able to manhandle a little bit, but the defense is good.
Yeah. Want to highlight Woody Marks. He was very high on our waiver wire pickups. We gave a last whole week, rant on him last
the
week.
The week before.
For several weeks now, but specifically last week, there was a big rant on how Houston traded up for this guy, spent a bunch of draft capital, very good chance. The system is kind of set up for him because they're playing from behind most of the time. So it's kind of interesting that this was the game that they ended up using him as much, but
yeah, definitely.
But, 21 total touches, 4 receptions, 50 yards receiving, 69 yards on the ground and 2 total touchdowns. Kind of taking over, or at least making the case to take over that backfield from Nick Chubb. And there is no sight of Joe Mixon anywhere in Houston. So,
no.
Mark, yeah. If you picked him up, potentially got an RB2 solid flex play moving forward.
Yeah, really excited for what he can do as far as, you know, boosting up some teams here.
You know his name is Jaquavius?
You said what?
Jaquavius.
Oh, his name
is how it's pronounced, his real name. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Woody. I like Woody.
It's a little easier.
Bijan Robinson's sitting at RB5 going into tonight. Number one player as far as scrimmage yards going into week 5 right now. Omarion Hampton, again, another rookie show up here. 128 yards on the ground, 37 receiving yards, a touchdown as well. This is the Omarion Hampton that we were all excited about on draft night. CMC at 8. We got Bucky Irving there at 9. James Cook defying the odds. Another touchdown, 100 yards, coming in at RB10.
Yeah, good for Cook. And just a reminder that sometimes these players come into the NFL and just need 2 or 3 games to get a little situated. We're looking at Omarion Hampton. We're looking at Ashton Jeanty. You know, we used to give receivers a year 3 breakout label.
Yeah.
And that does not exist anymore. Like if they don't perform right away, we are unforgiving and we're moving on from them. But sometimes it just takes a little time. This is a huge jump from college to the NFL.
And just situation. Some of these teams aren't drafting them because they need them year 1. They're drafting because they like the prospect. And they're like, oh, he's going to blossom in 2 or 3 years. And that's when we're going to really need him. So
look at JSN and Rome Odunze. Like these guys are clearly top you know, 10, 12 talents also, at the position.
It's also Shane Waldron effect too, you know. So that,
yeah, that's fair.
Javonte Williams continues to crush. Absolutely. Yeah, him and Travis Etienne, who finished just above him. Those are, I mean, not quite the zero RB status, kind of dead zone running backs, if anything. So scarier for some people to take, but the risk wasn't that baked in, and they're absolutely crushing for you.
No, Miles Sanders limped off the field too, so there's really nobody to stop Javonte from just continuing to be a bell cow. I'm not really sure what the status is of Jaden Blue at this point, but he's not that type of player either.
He would be like a Woody Mark style.
Yeah, I mean, I picture him kind of playing more of a gadget, even with like Kevontae Turpin is doing for that team right now, but he's not going to be taking over the backfield from Javonte anytime soon.
Not at all. Let's go to the wide receivers. Puka Nacua. I mean, if we redrafted it, he would be the 101, 102.
He might actually be the best receiver in the league. I mean, it's tough to say that with JJ and Chase, but he's kind of putting himself there over and over. And it's just crazy that the NFL overlooked this guy.
He has nearly 200 yards more than the next highest receiver this year. Like, he's absolutely crushing it.
And he's not really getting the red zone targets, too.
He never does. It's crazy.
I know, because he's huge and he's amazing. But, like, Davante Adams gets all the red zone looks. And, you know, he's holding this status as this elite, especially fantasy we're talking about. But he's above – I got to see where they landed after this week. But he was above Amon-Ra St. Brown last week, and he had three less touchdowns than him. So he's just strictly doing it on yardage alone, which is absolutely wild.
I see it pop up on Twitter every now and then, like people keeping track. But I think he scores a touchdown like once every like 33. It's either targets or 33 receptions, which is like one of the worst rates ever, especially for somebody who's as productive as he is. Absolutely bonkers. George Pickens, he used to do this every now and then for the Steelers. This might be pretty regular while CeeDee Lamb's out. I still think it's going to be regular when CeeDee comes back. But 8 receptions, 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. In an 80-point, you know, game between those two, you're going to figure a lot of points. But I'm excited for George Pickens with Dak.
Yeah, that catch down the sideline, I think he went out at the one.
Nasty.
Absolutely incredible. Like, prime Pickens, exactly what you hoped for when you took him as your wide receiver 3, probably. A lot of plays that Green Bay, you know, especially at the end of the game, they were giving him a ton of cushion, playing one-on-one in the back, like no safety help. And I don't really understand what that strategy was, because I would want to force them to throw the ball to Jalen Tolbert and Kevontae Turpin and kind of all these, you know, secondary options that they have, secondary third options. But for some reason, they were just kind of allowing him to hyper target Pickens, who's by far their best receiver. And you might have a wide receiver 1, at least for the next few weeks until CeeDee comes back.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I tried to get him for my brother. It wasn't happening.
No, not anymore.
Romeo Doubs pulls in 3 touchdowns, only 58 yards. Only 58 yards, 3 touchdowns, 6 receptions. Again, this was an 80-point game. You kind of expected that. Amon-Ra, 2 touchdowns, 70 yards. Another great game. You know, he's been just as consistent as Puka.
Every week. Yeah. DK?
I'm all for it. You know, win in Ireland. That's what you got to do. What's weird with DK, below a 25% target share. Really did not see that. That was one of the reasons I was into DK Metcalf coming into this season. It's just like, who else are they going to throw it to?
Yeah.
Who else are they going to toss the rock to? But clearly they're doing something about
and
that.
And I still don't know who they're throwing to, because Jonnu Smith isn't doing anything. Freiermuth got 0 catches.
Did you see who it was? It was Washington.
Yeah, Darnell Washington.
Darnell Washington, the Calvin third Austin tight end.
Is injured. Yeah. So it's wild there. We'll talk a little more about DK, but glad to see that performance for him.
Routes, Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith had 18 routes run. Darnell Washington, who is just like a 6th offensive lineman, that's been the joke since he got drafted. Yes, he had 16 routes run, 2 below both of those other guys. None of these tight ends are usable, but it's just like, come on, throw it to DK. Just get him a 30, 33% target share. Then the rest can go wherever the hell you want, Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Other wide receivers that did good, you got Drake London again, 110 yards. He had a receiving touchdown as well. Mooney may be out for a bit. If you look at the splits when Mooney is there and Mooney is not there, I mean, London absolutely crushes. So I'm full start on. I mean, not that you weren't, but Drake London, give me the next couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, I bought him last week and took some shade on this podcast. So I'm happy to come back here and be excited with my 10 targets.
QJ continues to crush and show that he is the number one for that team right now. 98 yards, 8 receptions, a touchdown. Yeah, yikes.
Yikes. Yeah, it's wild. I mean, he was a first round pick. He, you know, he's always had the talent, and I still see him as this like monster person who doesn't play nearly as physical as I would like him to, but they're just like creating ways to get him open. And he's making the plays this year where he wasn't, he was just dropping absolutely everything for the past 2 years. So it's kind of good to see him put it all together, and good for Herbert, of course, as well.
We round out the top 12. We got Abuka in there, Justin Jefferson, Debo, Marvin finally makes it up here again. 2 of 4 weeks. Shakir had a pretty big play to get him in the top 12. And then Roma Dunze, 4 weeks, 4 touchdowns. Xavier Worthy coming back, looking great. Loved the offense, how it was functioning. 5 receptions, 83 yards. Let's go, Worthy.
And rushing. I think he had like 34 on the ground, too.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk some tight ends here. Dallas Goedert, despite me just always fading it this year, I've kind of changed my tune a little bit. They have been, despite A.J. Brown and his amazing talent, they clearly want to use Dallas Goedert so much more.
Devontae Smith, too. This team had 0 passing yards in the second half of this game. Jalen Hurts did not complete a pass in the second half of this game.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild. Yet
they win. They're kind of just that team that pulls it off one way or another.
Stupid. It annoys the crap out of me.
Goddard, I think, had 4 targets or four
catches. 4 for 4, 37 and 2.
Yeah, so kind of living off your touchdowns there. Otherwise, 37 yards. You're not too pumped about that. Even 4 targets. It's going to fluctuate.
Hey, but when you don't complete a pass in the second half, it's kind of hard to expect there to be a lot of yards on his end.
No, and there weren't for the other guys. That's for sure.
Tyler Warren, absolutely crushing it there. We've seen him now. You know, he rushed in a touchdown this past week, 70 receiving yards. The guy is just a do-it-all tight end. I've got him in my top 4 rest of season, which will be coming out this coming week. Stay tuned, looking for that, folks, for us and all the QB list rankers.
Yeah, love the usage for Warren. We talked about this before the season, that he's going to be lining up all over the place. He had 5 receptions, 70 yards this week, and then he took a 2-yard handoff. And I was nervous about that for Jonathan Taylor coming into the season. And for the first few weeks, we haven't seen it, but it was nice to see it actually come to life after saying it out loud on this podcast and being like, I think they might use him for tush push. And then Daniel Jones getting all these QB sneaks. But yeah, Warren's a beast. He belongs out there. He's fit in from day one. And somebody, if you can find a way to like to maneuver him onto your team, you should feel pretty excited about it.
Kyle Pitts, top 3 tight end this week, got a touchdown, 70 yards. So glad Mario's not here to roll his eyes. Jake Ferguson's probably going to be a top 6 tight end for me the rest of the season. I think he's making just outside of that streamer category for me. And folks, let me read you some of the names here on the top 12 for tight ends. So we have Jake Tongis, which understandable, Kittle's out. He's kind of filling in. Tommy Tremble, backup tight end for the Panthers. AJ Barner, he scored. He was number 8. Mitchell Evans for Carolina as well. And then Theo Johnson of the Giants. What are we doing with tight end? Why do we play this position? Why do we use it in fantasy? I know we have to have it. It's great. It's awesome. I love it. But like, that's what we're dealing with here, folks. That's what we're dealing with.
Well, Brian and I actually have a league together that we transitioned the tight end into a pass catcher and just turned it into like pass catchers. You have 2 wide receivers, and then it's almost like they're just part of a flex, but we increase the like PPR usage for tight ends specifically to keep their value. So it kind of throws them right into that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 range for the bigger guys, but just a thought for your leagues next year, because it is kind of ridiculous.
I've fought it
for many years, but it is, I don't know. This is why you stream them.
It's the worst. And speaking of the worst, let's talk about them. Yes, we got Caleb Williams coming in at QB 22, Daniel Jones at 23, Lamar, injuries won't bring him up. Trevor Lawrence at 25. It's just gross. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, it's consistent. I don't think anybody's wanting to start that guy.
I don't know what is going on. That is like the worst 3-1, right? Yeah. It's the worst 3-1 team I've ever seen. And he, go.
The amount of time during the game that they've spent winning, though, is ridiculous. Like, yeah. Before this week, they've only had, like, I feel like a few seconds that they've actually been behind. And it was right there at the end when they lost to the Bengals. But, like, this team is getting it done. It's dirty, but they're getting it done.
Well, they already have more turnovers in their secondary than all of last year, which is crazy because I think we all anticipated their defense to be miserable again. But what is going on with the wide receiver core? Like, I think coming into the season, we thought this is going to be a top five unit between BTJ and Travis Hunter, and even Diami Brown's not terrible. Parker Washington is like the best receiver on the field, apparently.
After we saw the magic that Liam Cohen did with Godwin, you know, we got Evans 1,000 yards. Jalen McMillan got to break out last year. We could have had all of that happen. We had a guy waiting to break out. We had, you know, like just so much that could have happened with this team. And no, it's fine. Let's go ETN and Tootin. That's what we're looking for here. Jared Goff called it in the dome, stunk it up, QB19.
Very good sound effects there.
They absolutely romped it, though. It's funny that like it did work out that way.
Well, that one, yeah, 34 yards. I was looking at it before. I think they had 277 total, or 34 points, 277 total yards of offense. That's pretty low to put up 34 points. So these Browns games are weird. The defense either keeps them in or somehow they get steamrolled, but the offense doesn't actually do anything. It's like special teams and fluke plays that kind of just make this look like more of a blowout. We said the same thing when they played Baltimore a few weeks back, too. It was a pretty similar score.
Yeah, it's rough there. Some of these bad running backs here, Derrick Henry, RB37, only 58 total yards. JCM, I mean, again, that whole backfield for Washington's been passed around quite a bit. He was at 38. You got Chris Rodriguez at 40. Who else do we have here? Ramondre Stevenson, if anybody went back to that well, RB44. David Montgomery, again, a team that scored that many points, and RB56.
Yeah, I wouldn't be scared to fire up Monty next week, though. He was... Just last week, he had like an 80-yard run and I forget how many touchdowns, but he had a great game last week and looked fantastic too. So don't hesitate to throw him right back into your lineup.
Yeah, we talked about him being kind of more of a fade this week going up against Cleveland, and that run defense has been absolutely stout. Trey Benson, kind of a lackluster performance too after the rush to the waiver wire.
Yeah, 13 touches. Seattle's defense seems to be like a top five unit, so I don't feel too concerned over it. DeMercado played a lot in that passing game role and maybe is somebody to keep an eye on. But they got the Titans this week, so I actually think he's a reasonable buy if somebody's nervous about him, especially if he's going to see, you know, if 13 touches is his floor in a game that they're losing, then I think you got a good, still an RB2 flex play there.
Yeah, Benson just played 11 more snaps than DeMercado and ran only 5 more routes. DeMercado played 93% of the down and distance snaps, so there could be a decent role for him, at least in certain game scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk wide receivers, talk some of those stanky ones. I mean, DJ Moore, when you've got Rome Odunze, the stud that he is on your team, it's kind of hard to be a number one. Also, Zacchaeus, I mean, just... continues to eat away at what they could have. It kills me.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to try to move him or not.
Please. Oh, wait, probably who? DJ Moore?
DJ Moore. Because
I don't think they can. Yeah. I looked at the money. It's rough. I don't know if they can.
Unless someone eats the money.
Yeah, unless somebody were to take him, which you might have to pay somebody to do, kind of like the Jared Goff contract.
Right.
Who else do we have? Brian Thomas Jr. Another.
Yep. Every week.
He had a great big play down the sideline too that just couldn't get both feet in. Like it continues to look like it's just mental errors.
Couldn't or didn't? Because it looked like he could, and it looked like he didn't. So yeah, like you're saying, it looks more mental than anything at this point.
Which is upsetting because some guys just all the talent in the world and they can't get over the mental hiccups.
Maybe it's just Mac Jones. You know, that's the key. That was the key all along.
Bring him back. Somebody go kick T-Law on the ankle. Just for a game. I just want to see. Ladd McConkey, we talked about QJ continuing to tear it up. Ladd is the direct, like, he's losing in that situation every time.
One catch. Not good.
It's not good. It's not good, Bob. Not good.
Yeah, him and AJ Brown, though, wide receiver 88 and wide receiver 89. Pretty good for your teams this week. But like, I don't know. You're probably continuing to start them. You took them both in the second round, probably. So it's kind of difficult to bench a guy at that point.
You might have taken Brian Thomas Jr. and Ladd McConkey back to back. Yeah,
that could be your 12th,
that could be your 12th, team. Pick, and if you didn't pick up ETN or Javonte or J.K. Dobbins back there, or Keenan Allen.
Struggling.
Yeah, you are struggling. Tight ends, I kind of brought them up, but like the Steelers tight ends, I just want to bring them up because it's a hot mess. We're not looking at playing them, but
yeah, I hate it. There's all these stats about how like the Steelers or Janu has the most designed plays towards him, which makes for a tight end, which makes the most sense because Arthur Smith just like, I don't know what they're doing behind closed doors and why those two are so close. But he's not performing and you're never going to be able to rely on a week to week basis.
Wait, isn't Jonnu his nephew?
I assume they're related.
Yeah. I mean, but they're both Smiths. Right. Of course. So I see the resemblance too.
Yep.
For sure. Alrighty, folks, let's go to waivers. Your teams are hurting. We got bye weeks, so we got to figure out some of those waivers.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're using award music, but you know, that's the only transition I had.
Yeah, I was going to say bye weeks this week too. Falcons, Bears, Packers, Steelers. Some pretty damaging bye weeks, I would say. I have zero wide receivers in my hometown league to start this week between CeeDee Lamb, Drake London, and Rome Odunze, which is a trio I was very happy about. Recently, but this week is probably lining up for a loss.
Well, let's fix that problem. Let's talk running back. Oh, it doesn't fix that problem. Oh, well, still talking running backs. Folks, Woody Marks, he's probably out there in a lot of your 10-team leagues, 12 league, maybe not. We've been talking about him for a little bit over here, and I mean, not just us. Other people have too. But just throwing that out there. It's the usage. It's the uptick. It's how bad Houston is. I mean, Nick Chubb, see ya, buddy. He's going to have a role. There'll still be games, I'm sure. But when it comes down to it, like Woody Marks is just thrust into an unreal role. So if he is available, I would be – he's like a 50% fab for me.
Yeah, fair amount of fab there. He seemed – I mean, like we said, over 20 touches this week. So
nearly an 18% target share. That's dope. When we can't find anybody other than Nico to really go through there, that's what we're looking for. Who else? Who are we looking at?
Rashad White / Sean Tucker, and kind of following the Bucky Irving news. Not sure if anything's going to come out by tomorrow. See how quickly those MRIs come back. But Sean Tucker is definitely on your waiver. He's had some blow up games when he's gotten the opportunity, and the team reportedly really likes him. You know, as much as you can for a guy who never sees the field, but definitely somebody I'd monitor. Chris Rodriguez, we've talked about for multiple weeks. I don't know what you do with this backfield. They're all RB3 at best.
Yeah, when it comes to the Washington backfield, that's more of like 12-plus team league if you really need it. I'm willing to, but I think it's one of those only one to two guys is really going to give you something each week, and you just hope you're not on losing end.
Yeah, just to touch on Kenneth Gainwell, if he is out there, I'm personally not spending a dollar of my fab on him. Uh-oh. They're reporting Warren's going to be back, and they've got a bye week in the Browns. So Warren's going to be back. Gainwell's not going to be in this starting role. And they've got, again, a bye week and then the best run defense in the NFL coming up. So I wouldn't be, you know, he's going to be a valuable option if Warren goes down again. But otherwise, you're just keeping him on your bench.
He's somebody I would rather pick up Sunday night. Like if you're able to free pick up, like most of my leagues, I like to have free pickup on Sunday. He would be somebody I would pick up late Sunday night, you know, because he is free to pick up because he's on a bye week. You don't have to run anything. Drop one of those players you realize you don't need now and go pick him up there. So you're not having to fight next week. If, you know, we get reports that Warren isn't going to be running around. Kendre Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that time.
It's finally done.
It's also frustrating as anything. Kamara, his target share has been like 5% two of the weeks and nearly 20% the other 2 weeks. So is this going to be just game script? Is this part of it? Could Alvin Kamara be moved on? Could he be traded? There's several teams that are needing running backs right now, and it's only going to increase. So Kendre Miller could take over this. Even Devin Neal, like, they've got plenty of depth at running back. Devin Neal was a running back out of Kansas. Not that he would be taking over, but I thought there was plenty of promise from him.
Yeah, Kendre was a highly touted prospect coming in too. It's been 3 years of injuries, and Dennis Allen hates him with all of his heart. We're not exactly sure what was going on there, but his playing time has increased each week. If Kamara were traded, you know, this is the situation where these teams get rid of these players, but historically the Saints will probably extend him to like some ridiculous contract because that's just what they do with aging players when their team is terrible. But yeah, Kendre is one of those guys who I'm definitely highly targeting this week. He's going to be out there on a lot of waiver wires, still kind of under the radar, did score a touchdown this week, but he's somebody who could just get like skyrocket in value if a Kamara trade were to happen. And it really should happen, but you know, who knows if that actually will come to fruition.
Right. Yeah. He falls in the category with the Blake Corums, the Taj Brooks's, a lot of these backup running backs that may not exactly have flex roles quite yet, but they're an injury away. Tajay Spears is somebody I believe we talked about week one. If you do have an IR spot, he was somebody that you could have picked up and thrown on there. So he's backup running back for the Titans. I believe this is year three for him. Off it, kind of like a Kendre Miller, often banged up, but he showed out last year during the fantasy playoffs, and Tony Pollard hasn't been it. He has been nothing that this team needs, and they need a jolt of electricity, and that could be exactly what Tajay Spears brings to this team.
And I know you and I are both big Spears fans, but kind of in the same way we talk about Woody Marks, he's a better pass catcher, and this team is consistently playing from behind, so there's a lot of opportunity for him once he gets back on the field to be the receiving back for the Titans, which, you know, they lost 26-0 this week, and Tony Pollard's getting 15 to 20 touches a game, and Pollard's a good receiving back in his own right, but Spears is quicker. He had a high ankle sprain early in the offseason, which kind of, you know, put him onto IR, which is not great, but hopefully back in the next week or two. So definitely a good stash and somebody who could see a lot of playing time in the second half of the season.
100%. And the last guy I want to bring up, I think we might have brought him up earlier on, but Preshard Smith of the Kansas City running backs. We're not getting anything from Hunt. We're getting nothing from Pacheco. It's probably going to be a round robin of a handful of running backs. But this is a guy you're not really grabbing him for his running back traits. You're grabbing him for his pass catching traits. A lot during, I think it was July, we were getting a lot of hype, a lot of like, oh, could this be the next Jerick McKinnon? Could he be involved more in the passing game and really bring the heat there? And his snaps, I mean, granted, it was only 26%, but it was as high as of his career / season, up from 14% as his other previous high. And we saw him being used more in that role. So I worry, after seeing Worthy being out on the field and getting Rice back, maybe there's not enough that he can truly do that. But if Travis Kelce's gone, Patrick Mahomes might have three players he can support.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Smith too, but I think you covered everything there. You know, the other guys are Hunt, I think, he led the backfield with 2.6 yards per carry. He is just plodding his way through. I don't know how much longer that can go on, but if this team is playing from a negative game script, they're going to be Rashard Smith is going to see more and more playing time as the season goes on.
Any other running backs you want to bring up?
No, I think that's good.
Sweet. Let's go to wide receiver. Who are you looking to patch some holes for your bye weeks, injuries, or just poor drafting?
I wouldn't say that was poor drafting.
Well, not for you, just in general. More of the
yes.
The plural you.
I feel like Iron Manor is taken in a lot of leagues by now, but Calvin Ridley played his lowest snap percentage. He played less than him and Tyler Lockett this week. So again, another guy who they might look to trade, and they should look to trade because they are not contending this year and he's an aging player. So get something in return. But
we hear dealing with undisclosed injury for the podcast, folks. My fingers are moving in that little quotey way.
Yeah.
That's what the coach says. Who knows?
He's taken in a lot of leagues. You can scrape the bottom of the barrel with Wandale and Darius Slayton. The matchup is there this week. If you're looking for the streamer, what do you think of those two guys?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm willing to kick the bucket on those two. As far as just like the rest of kind of what you're looking at least in 12-team leagues, Wandale Robinson definitely interests me. And Darius Slayton, he killed it last year when Malik Nabers was out. As far as first read targets and just his overall target share, he can get it done. He's an older wide receiver. He's been in the league a long time. He usually gets hurt at some point, but when he's out there and he's hot, he gets it done. So 12-team leagues, if you're hurting as far as just trying to patch a hole, I don't mind these two just because you have that variable of Jackson Dart.
And they play the Saints this week.
Yeah. After that, two of three, you're playing the Eagles, so hopefully you're patching with other holes. But there could be a window where we have some pretty good games from one of or maybe both these players.
Yeah, Eagles, Broncos, Eagles, 3 weeks after the Saints. So these are 1 week fill-ins at best. Troy Franklin, we'll see tonight. He's somebody who I think you and I both felt a lot of design plays for him 2 weeks ago, had a really nice showing, and then kind of disappeared again. That's what they do. You're just taking a shot with him, but he's on the field. He's playing more than Marvin Mims. Again, this is recording before the Monday night game, so it's a little tough to say, but another name probably worth stashing.
Yeah, I'll be interested to kind of check into his numbers after tonight. Mm-hmm. Dobbs, of course, up to three touchdowns. That possibility is going to be there when the Packers get hot in the air. He's going to be a part of that.
They are just difficult to guess from a week-to-week basis. But Dobbs, he's never getting 100 yards. He's never blowing up. But he is the dude that Love looks for on third down. Two of his touchdowns last night were within the five-yard line, maybe with even the two- or three-yard line, and they were just one-on-one. Kind of a back shoulder fade and then a slant on the next time around. And he's looking for him when he needs the big plays. So he's probably got the highest touchdown upside of the other guys, but Golden is probably the highest ceiling technically of a big play to break out. So I would say Golden can be on this list too, if he's on your waiver wire.
Luther Burden, we talked about last week as being a pickup at this point, us going into bye weeks, injuries, stuff like that. If you need to drop him, I totally get that. Just a player I kind of want to have on my radar, as well as Jalen Coker for the Panthers. He went on to IR right before the season started. And folks, technically Bryce Young got benched this past week. And if you remember anything about last year, after he came back from a benching, the dude was busting it out there. So I'm really excited because we got a Bryce Young benching. Next week, I'm taking all of the overs, all of the Panthers overs. If Jalen Coker comes back, I don't know exactly how much you're going to be using him in a 10-team league, 12-team league. I could see him being of value.
Yeah, someone we were excited about coming into the season. Once they traded Adam Thielen, especially, it was like, all right, Coker's got this slot role defined for himself. And then immediately placed on IR like the next day. So definitely someone worth monitoring. I believe there's a quad injury, so it's kind of one of those soft tissue things. So he may get eased back in, or he may stay on IR for another couple of weeks. But
Isaiah Bond, there's two UT guys coming into the draft this past year. It was him, and then it was Golden for the Packers. Golden got taken in the first round. Bond didn't get drafted at all. He has some character issues, so naturally he fell to the Browns. As a free agent acquisition. And over the last 2 weeks, 65% of snaps, 55% of the snaps. This past week, 6 targets, 3 catches for 58 yards. This is a deeper league grab, but just somebody, I think, more of a radar guy as well. I mean, Jerry Jeudy is not looking like he's looking like his Denver self, and Cedric Tillman's dealing with a hamstring injury. So Isaiah Bond might be playing himself into a decent target share.
Yeah, I gotta love the Browns going with Quinshon, Shador, and Isaiah Bond in this draft.
And they really had Kareem Hunt until recently.
Yeah, that's true. The Chiefs are right there too. They don't take the heat that other teams do for bringing on these questionable players.
Yeah, well, enough time on Hunt, it cooled off, so then they were able to bring him back. But like, could you imagine where his career would be if he just stayed there the whole time?
Oh, I know.
Oh, ridiculous. Alec Pierce,
for carry.
He can hold on to the ball when he catches it, and he doesn't throw it out of the back of the end zone. So there's always upside with him each and every week. He's going to be
underrated skill in the NFL, I'm learning. It's shocking how many players will drop the ball before they walk into the end zone.
We've done that twice. Once last year and then once this year now.
And like JT was last year, yeah. Stupid. I don't know what. It's unbelievable. Coaching.
Luke McCaffrey, too. Back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. We're trying to find out more. I guess Terry McLaurin doesn't need surgery, but some sort of quad, abdomen, core. He's got something going wrong. You know, he's got the money, so he's going to get it checked out. And Luke McCaffrey might be more involved in this team.
Let's talk
some QBs. Jackson Dart, we've mentioned him before, plays the Saints this week, so I don't mind the play, especially in a super flex league.
Yeah, but after that, Eagles, Broncos, Eagles. So yeah. Immediately trade him for anything.
What about Stafford? You like Stafford?
Yeah, Stafford. I always like Stafford. And you got Puka and Devontae out there, so he's always got high upside, you know, no rushing floor at all, but he's got 49ers, Ravens, Jaguars, Saints. Not too scary of the next four games. So, you know, a lot of these guys are closer to super flex plays. But, Jaguars, Saints, Ravens, historically. Ravens feel like they're scary when you're going to play them. But they're, again, bottom three in rushing and passing right now. So,
J.J. McCarthy could be coming back. With him coming off that injury, because he was getting a little bit of rushing work, plus playing the Browns, Eagles, Chargers, Lions, it's pretty rough. You may need to do it, but I don't know if I want to, especially because I haven't given him that full nod of confidence yet. Like Kevin O'Connell still has some work to do.
Yeah, if you got a Vikings fan in your league, just immediately go try to get McCarthy over there.
Right. Sam Darnold, if you need something too. He's been, like, PFF loves the guy this year. He's been pretty good. Bucks, Jags, Texans, and the Commanders as his next four.
Yeah, that's a pretty good schedule, too.
Not too shabby.
Good for Darnold. I'm happy for the guy.
I guess. It's just, it was fun to hate on him.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's not nice. Whatever. Let's talk some tight ends. Folks, it's gross. It's really gross. If you check out my article on QBList.com, you know, one of the many streaming articles we do, it's not fun out there. Hopefully you're not looking at these, but like Strange, I'm going to go at bat for just about every week. Gadsden, likely people you need to be picking up. I mean, is there anybody that really is like right there for you?
No, not right there for me. I am an avid Isaiah Likely guy. So I think if you can move Mark Andrews right now, I don't think this helps him by any means. Isaiah Likely, it's probably tough to start him in like a one standard league, but somebody worth watching. He led the Ravens in receiving yards over the playoffs last year. And he's someone who immediately steps in if, say, Flowers gets injured, immediately steps in if Mark Andrews gets injured. He's kind of just gotten better and better each year. And it looks like they're going to let Mark Andrews walk after this season, and he's going to be the guy. So in Dynasty, for sure, Likely is someone I'm targeting everywhere. But kind of tough to put him in anytime soon here until you see if that foot injury is going to be okay.
You should trade him. Trade Mark Andrews to the Steelers. You know, they love tight ends there.
They do love tight ends. see one more name here you got?
Yeah, I'm going to say it. It's brave. We're going to check it out. But Darren Waller, I'm saying it. I don't know if you want to be looped in on that, but you know, who knows? We saw the tight end get quite a bit of work last year. I'm not thinking he's going to be anything that you actually want to roster, but this guy could be streamable at some point this season.
I just don't understand how he's already hurt. Like, you come out of retirement, you're just singing heartbroken love songs in your home for 2 years.
I figured that's what was hurt. It was his ego from that stupid song.
Just a broken heart on the injury report.
Yeah, no kidding. Defenses, what defense are you looking to stream this week?
Giants, pretty good performance. We've talked about them as supposed to be a really good front seven this year, and they have the most difficult schedule or strength of schedule heading into the season, but playing the Saints, that's somebody that is definitely going to be on your waiver wire. Browns, I don't really think they're going to be on waiver wires, but you can probably play them against anybody. So at this point, they've got blown out a few games, but really that hasn't been on the defense. And I don't see this Vikings team doing the same thing that Baltimore or Detroit has done to them.
100% agree. The Colts and the Jags right now are two of those just kind of anomaly defenses. They have just seasons where they are way higher on the turnover numbers than maybe they should, but the ball's just falling their way. So they're playing the Raiders. Geno threw three picks this past week. I don't see that necessarily replicating. He's usually pretty decent with protecting the ball, pretty accurate, but the Colts, it's kind of a magical season. It's been pretty down for them for quite a while since the retirement of Andrew Luck. So, you know, karma. It's football karma coming back to him this year.
Yeah, and then Cardinals against the Titans.
Cam Ward, you know.
Cam Ward, yeah, he's a rookie.
No,
I don't hate what I've seen from Cam Ward, but I'm happy to, in a streaming situation, you know, he doesn't have anybody to throw to. He doesn't, that team is just in shambles, and they're not even playing their best receiver anymore. So,
yeah. I guess I'd like to be on that team, too. Like, from a football sense, yeah, Cam Ward is doing what he's having to do, what he has to get done out there. Fantasy sense, yeah, we're going to talk smack on him. He's not going to be supportive. But
like, his best receiver is a fourth-round rookie. Like, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah, it's it's not great. Not great there. Awesome. Folks, before we get out of here, as we do, you know, we're adding it in this time of the year. We're looking for trades. This is the trade time. We have a pretty decent amount of information as far as what we're looking for, as far as strength of schedule, schedule adjusted, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about some buys, talk about some sells. You brought up Patty Mahomes as a buy last week. It may be hard now with three or four games as a top six QB, but if anybody thinks they're selling on him high, yeah, I take him.
Yep, 100%. His cast is only going to get better.
Rattle off some running backs for us. Who do you have here?
Yeah, I'm going to go to bat for Travis Etienne. And, you know, they traded away Tank Bigsby. We all have questioned it, but it seems like the injury last year was more than we anticipated. This week, 20 total touches, 125 yards and a touchdown. I think everyone's expecting Bashaul Tootin to come into it a little bit more as the season goes on, but 5 touches in comparison to Etienne's 20 this week, just 22 yards. He's kind of the dude right now, and maybe that goes a little bit, but he's going to be much cheaper. He's performing as an RB1, and he's going to be much cheaper than a lot of other guys if you need running back help.
I think it's the hard thing is, like, it is kind of hard to sell running backs, especially going into bye weeks and stuff like that, but
yeah,
I don't want to sell ETN.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, I get it too.
I do.
Yeah, well, what would you sell him for?
That's the hard part, is giving something out. I guess it's just what you spent for him. I'm okay selling with what I have, you know, like, unless you're really depending on him as a pivotal piece in your team. But, like, I don't know. I think better days are ahead for Tootin. I don't know if he is going to be the guy by the time we get to the end of the season, by the time we get to the playoffs. So it feels like one of those. I don't want it to melt. It feels like a popsicle in my hand, and it feels like it's just getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And I'm going to look down, and it's going to be nothing but a sticky mess in my hand.
Ah, man. I don't know if we're going to have to cut this or not. But yes, great metaphor. Thank you, Brian.
Maybe next.
Yeah, and he's the type of guy, like him and Javonte, who are just performing. So if you do want to sell them, I also don't blame you. But he's the sort of guy who I want to package up with, like, a wide receiver 3 and try to move up to get – somebody I feel more confident in. Maybe some of these other names here too, but we can kind of roll through these. I had Trey Benson on this list.
Again, I don't mind this one. People getting a little disappointed after this first week.
Yep. You know, high expectations, no patience in this world. So 13 touches. They played Seattle. Really difficult defense. They've proven that every week this year. This week they get Tennessee. Maybe probably a more favorable game script. So yeah, I'm still okay on Benson, and again, he's going to be more of a RB2, RB3 price if you need that.
You have Henry on here as a buy. That one's hard for me. It's really hard, especially looking at the Texans, Rams, two of the next games coming up. No Lamar. I get it. They should lean on him more, but he has been bad 3 or 4 games this week, or this year.
This year, yeah. Yep, totally. It's just banking on talent and hoping that they realize that he's seemingly the dude who's running this offense. Go for it.
I was going to say, I like this next one we have, the RJ Harvey. If you are a 3-1 team, a 4-0 team, you have the bench ability. I mean, I love J.K. Dobbins. He's been one of my favorite running backs. I've always wanted him to do well. But if you had to make a bet on whether or not he finishes the season or does not, I think the better bet is that he does not. So, like, just being able to have, what, third-round draft? He was a third-round running back.
Second.
Oh, was he second?
Yep.
Yeah. Day two. A day two running back for you, regardless, for the Broncos. They liked the guy. They have an idea of how they're going to use him. So I think this is a great call.
Yeah. Harvey, I think, is a great stash. And we have talked about this for months. And we'll kind of talk on the sell side about the other side of it. But some easy wide receivers to talk about. If you're already looking like a contender and you've got a deep bench, go try to get CeeDee, especially if he's somebody on a team that's in the bottom of your league who's desperate for some wins. They might be willing to, you know, package a 2 or 3 for 1 for a guy who's probably not going to play for the next few weeks, but he's not on IR. He wasn't a cast last night. So I think we're anticipating him back three more games missed at the most. That would be the IR 4 week stint, but they haven't used that spot on him. So Rashee Rice is 2 weeks out from returning. Another dude.
Love that. Go see if they're 0-4. If they are 0-4, you can get him.
Yep, totally. And you're just, yeah, you're taking advantage of those people at the bottom of your league. If you're here, that's probably not you. So congratulations. Chris Godwin, I'm kind of pumped about this one. 3 for 26. People are going to be pretty low on him right now. He was not eased back into this offense. He came out and got 10 targets.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't turn into too much. But if Bucky Irving's out, Mike Evans is out, we know what Godwin can do. So if you can get him cheap, and he's going to see any receiver that's seeing the 8 to 10 targets you want on your team. So he's kind of an under the radar one right now. And Jameson Williams, he's someone I'm still pretty high on. You know, he's a low end wide receiver too at the end of last season, but 8 targets last week, only turned into 40 yards, but this team is putting up points and he's just, you know, inches away from some huge plays, and that's going to make or break your week.
He's like he's a George Pickens. I mean, maybe a George Pickens light because CeeDee Lamb's out, but when CeeDee Lamb comes back, you know, he's a guy that's probably going to give you closer to wide receiver 3 numbers on average, but that's because, like, when the big games come, the big games come. He's not always going to sit there and be fed with targets there. So I like that one as well. Bowers and Warren, yeah, people are probably – all the tight ends, I think all of the big 4 tight ends you could probably go get cheaper than their actual price just because no one's really been unbelievable. Tucker Kraft, for some reason you can go get him cheap too. Like, I love that as well.
Yeah, Kraft was a third of an inch away from a touchdown last night. They are designing a lot of screen passes and stuff for him. He gets some big plays downfield. So I'm also fine moving down, tearing down a bit, and trying to get Kraft – plus if you have the Bowers or something too. But Bowers tight end 13 on the season. Again, if that team's at the bottom of your league and needs an RB2 and you've got something on your bench there that can help them out, then you might have a chance.
Socks themselves. Yeah. Quarterbacks, if you're in a single quarterback league, yeah, quarterbacks aren't really something you can sell because you can kind of stream the position unless you have people that are crazy about them.
Move on to Superflex next year. I've written a bunch of articles on the fantasy footballers too, and we'll probably do some for QB list, but Superflex is the way to go. QB position in one QB leagues is essentially useless. Like, you're just streaming, and I mean, look at some of the QB ones this week. We just talked about them, but make the QB important for fantasy football and switch to Superflex next year. But
yeah, anyway. Rushing kind of breaks it. Look at Drake May. You know, he's going to be top 5 for me almost the rest of the season because of the rushing ability.
One of the best top 5 quarterbacks in the league. Yeah.
Sells here. We've got Pacheco, Pollard.
Pacheco. Yeah. I'm going to say he got a receiving touchdown this week. Man, I've had him on my hate list before the season on this podcast. I think we've talked about him every week, but he scored this week. And we've already talked about Breshad Smith. He's still getting less carries than Hunt somehow, even though Hunt, again, is not really doing anything with it. But Hunt's getting the goal line work. If there's a world you can sell Pacheco, this is probably your best week to do it.
Jordan Mason could be seeing Aaron Jones come back here in a week or in a couple of weeks. But the Eagles, Chargers, Browns, he's got some rough games ahead. It's going to be some tough sledding. So I agree with that one. J.K. Dobbins, we just talked about the Harvey, so obviously he's got to be on this side too.
So we talked about this before the season too and said the savvy play is to draft J.K. Dobbins late and then wait 3 or 4 weeks, let him perform, and then try to move him. And this is kind of the start of that thought process for me because they play Cincinnati tonight. Jordan Mason just steamrolled Cincinnati last week. Hopefully that's what happens here. You know, there's always variables that change that. But if he has a blow up week, you know, kind of monitor the snap percentage, see if Harvey starts to get in there a little bit. And if you can move Dobbins and, you know, Dobbins and somebody else for to tier up to somebody who's definitely going to be that dude for the rest of the season, then that's going to be a savvy move.
Yeah, because at this point, the window is open enough to fit that defensive tackle tugboat from the Buccaneers right now. So go ahead and get a move to that window before it closes. DK Metcalf, I'm completely on with this one, too. I was hoping he was going to get more involvement as far as like just being heavily targeted. It's really not happening. He's not getting just that unbelievable target share and opportunity. And this team's frustrating. So, you know, moving on makes sense.
80-yard touchdown this week. That covers a pretty significant portion of his best game this season. I think he went from wide receiver 33 to wide receiver 13 just this week. So, again, somebody I'm happy to move on from and try to tier up from that spot.
And the last one I'm seeing here on this list that I think this is a great, absolutely great move if you can pull this off. Dalton Kincaid. Absolutely get him out of your, like, move on from him. The way he scored, what, 3 touchdowns in 4 weeks? And he's playing less snaps this past week. He played less snaps or ran less routes than the third tight end. Like, Dawson Knox is in there. It's so diluted, and he's getting so little work, but the touchdowns are coming in for him right now, and it's like James Cook. The road rushing can't stay there.
Well, they say that, and then he continues to do it. But yeah. Kincaid, yeah, the snap percentage is discouraging. I will say 2 weeks ago, he looked good. I think he had 6 catches in that game, and it was 1 touchdown, another end zone target that got tipped, and then he was like an inch away from a second touchdown. I don't know why this week was such a different game plan, but he's tight end 2 on the season right now. He's a first-round pick. He's got a lot of skill. He's on the Bills. You might have a window. If you can move Kincaid somehow and move down to Tucker Kraft, Tyler Warren, maybe I'm just going to shoot myself in the foot here, but even like TJ Hockenson is up to 90% snap share this week. But you could probably get Hockenson plus a significant amount for Kincaid right now. You might be able to get, you know, if you can get Hockenson and RJ Harvey, then maybe you're in the conversation for something like that. And that's probably a move you could pull off, but Mark Andrews, another sell.
Go get Ferguson. And yeah, then you could probably actually get a Ferguson wide plus receiver 3 for you.
Yep.
Because I don't know how much people are really paying attention to Ferguson right now.
Yeah, and that's a better name than Hockenson even. And then I was going to say Mark Andrews, tight end 12. Hopefully you sold him after last week, but we don't know what's going to happen with Lamar. Isaiah Likely is coming back. He's probably going to end up with 10 touchdowns on the season, but you're going to be paying for it in the games he doesn't. But hopefully you didn't drop him, like some people mentioned, because he had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. So that's a week-winning performance for you from your tight end. But
okay, so outside of week 3, he has 37 yards across 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's droppable. He's a streaming tight end.
I mean, he's a tight end 1 on the season, so.
That doesn't mean anything. He's a streaming tight end.
Tight end is fair, especially without Lamar. Then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and like you said, with Likely coming back, there's a lot more targets I think than this team's ever had. But when you add in Hopkins being there, Tez Walker, the rookie, still has quite a bit of touchdown upside too.
Yeah, the last thing I just want to say before outside of buys and sells, when you're looking for trades, don't be that dude just sending out random offers. Like, yes, we're throwing out these names, but it's all situational. Go look at the teams, start at the bottom of the list. Who's desperate? What position are they lacking in? Do they have any bye weeks like my team that has no wide receivers this week? Is there a way you can finagle that into a trade that's going to be better for you in the long run? Go look immediately after injuries. Go to whoever has Malik Neighbors, whoever has Lamar. Can you package something up and take away maybe who was their wide receiver 2, but who can be a wide receiver 2/1 for you by throwing together a couple bench players? We talked about ETN as a buy and a sell, but can you do ETN plus and get kind of a stud somewhere?
Don't go in there trying to beat somebody in a trade. Don't go try and strong arm the 0-4 teams or something like that. Even if you get that trade done and you absolutely win the trade, you blow them out of the water, that's not good overall. Because that's the last trade you may be able to make.
No one's going to trade with you after
that. No one wants to be that person that always loses to that person or has to have the person that's just so aggressive and just shooting dumb trades. Like, be thoughtful in your process, trying to figure out how it is. RB for an RB trade is usually a bad trade because someone's going to lose it. So, be thoughtful in how that works.
You're going to lose, or you're assumingly on the winning side of that.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, be a lot more thoughtful when you're doing into that, and be a lot more thoughtful when you're listening to this podcast. Make sure you hit that review button, hit that subscribe there. Check us out here every single week. We'll be coming at you with more information. Hit us up on the QBList.com where we have all of our great What We Saw articles, the start sit. We'll see y'all later. This is me and Nick. We're getting out of here.
Later. Take care.
Later.